You'll take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy. Got down through verse number 12. Remember that chapters 6 and 7 teach motives for obedience and why, and of course this was directed first to the people of Israel, why they should obey God's laws. We really spend quite a bit of time talking about how important it is that parents understand and grandparents their responsibility to teach children, that it's not the responsibility of a public school system, it's not the responsibility of the church to teach our children. We do that to reinforce parents. That's why we have Sunday school. We of course study the Word of God as adults. Our children are taught on their level as children, and it's important, but ultimately the responsibility lies with us, doesn't it? Because when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to be judged according to what we have or have not done in the training of our children. I heard or read recently that, I don't know who it is in California, it's not the governor, it's not Newsom, this particular individual, I don't know if it's a state legislature, who it is, or whether it's the Secretary of State there, or Senator, I don't know who it is. But anyway, this is not really new, but it's not been this close to possibly coming to pass. They suggest there in California that the children be taken away from parents because they don't belong really to the parents. They belong to the whole community. And so they should be trained by the community because too often parents instill in their children certain values that may not be according to the values of the progressive, woke type of people. So we need to get them out of the home because they're going to be tainted. And they're going to be pressured into believing a certain way. So this particular individual, again, I don't know who it is, but he's going to suggest to the governor that something be, some kind of mandate. Does that surprise you? Even way back 25 years ago, I remember Hillary said it takes a village. She wrote a book, I think, didn't she? Yeah. Did you know that 95% or more of our problems in the United States can be traced back to the home? Did you know that? Do you know probably, I don't know, I couldn't put a percentage on it, but I would be shocked, and you would be shocked at the percentage of parents that have no idea how to parent. And the reason they don't know how to parent is because this is probably the second, at least the second generation of people that have had children, neither one of the two were taught how to parent. And so it's beginning to get into generations now. Parents that don't know how to parent had kids who don't know how to parent, who are now having children who also will not know how to parent. And then what they're hearing in school, because school is no longer, I need to teach you how to read and I need to teach you how to write. I need to teach you arithmetic. I need to indoctrinate you in the progressive way of life. Our colleges and universities have been taken over for decades. Now it's in the all the way down into kindergarten and preschool. We have reason to be concerned. So do what you can. We cannot, most of us are not the parent. Our kids are grown. But as grandparents, we influence our grandchildren, don't we? So we got to do the best we can. We only have so much control. I understand that we can't demand anything because the kids, they don't like that. We wouldn't like it when we were young, right? When we were raising our kids, when mom and dad would assert some authority, we kind of rebelled against that too a little bit, I'm sure. All right, so let's get back into the chapter. Like I said, we got through verse 12. Let's begin with verse number 13. And I had you read this last week, didn't I? Didn't we read the whole chapter? Anybody remember? My memory is.
We were back there, and I don't think we did.
I don't think.
Or wherever we were. I don't think we did. Did we?
I don't think
George?
We did. I don't think
We didn't read it? Okay. Well, let's go ahead, and we got 13 through 25 finishes the chapter. So let's go ahead and read four verses each, three of you. Three volunteers. George, first four. Scott, second four. Who wants to take the last four? Anybody? We have a lady? You're not a lady, but that's okay. Why don't you do it, Gary? No ladies that volunteer, they're very shy and timid. We're right here, Mary. We're in church. Leonard?
I figured that.
Help me here. You take the last four, so that would be 22, 23, 24, and 25. Is that okay, Gary? I don't mean to drop you like a lead balloon, but you know, I don't want to offend any ladies. You know how ladies are, when they get offended, you know, it can be rough. So I can deal with you better than most women, okay? All right, George, go ahead.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee off from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as he tempted him in Massa.
Mm-hmm.
You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.
Go ahead and do one more. I think I told Mary 23, didn't I, Mary? Go ahead. There's an odd verse, so go ahead and do 20.
And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes.
Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us to the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as if this is the day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us.
All right, thank you, three. Back to verse number 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, one of the recurring themes in Deuteronomy. And notice how often Moses reminds the people of the importance of obeying God and how the blessings of God are tied directly to obeying his word. Over and over and over and over again, he's reminding them, instilling, pumping into them, fear God, serve God, obey God. Then the last part of verse 13, and shalt swear by his name. Back then, of course, it was not uncommon for them to take or make an oath, and they would use the name of God, swearing by his name. It was a solemn pledge to affirm something is absolutely true, bound under obligation before God to do it. Now, in the New Testament, the Lord said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And as I mentioned, I think last week, James also reiterated the importance of our word being bond. Is that true today? No. You need teams of attorneys. Not a team. Teams of attorneys. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, because as they go into the land, they're going to be brought face to face with idolatry, face to face with the Canaanite gods. And so, knowing human nature, which God knows, we don't even know our own hearts because they're deceitful and desperately wicked, but God knows. He created us. He knows what we're made of. We're made of clay. And he knows how easily swayed we are. And, of course, we've talked often about how easy it is to have an idol because there are a multitude of idols around us, aren't there? And we can idolize almost anything, can't we? I mean, there's a TV show. I don't know if it's still on, if it's on this year or not. It was on for many years, American Idol, right? And, you know, we have sports figures that have become idols, and we have singers and, you know, Hollywood stars that people idolize. But we can even put a family member before God, can't we? So we have to be careful. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Because the Lord will not share his glory, or will he share their love with anyone else. No other gods, because there are no gods, but our one true God. You shall not tempt. A better word there is test. Thou shalt not test the Lord your God as ye tested him in Massa or Massa. Massa is, the name means testing. Turn back to Exodus chapter 17. Let's take a gander at this. And Gary, if you would be so kind, since I just pulled a rug right out from underneath you a little while ago, if you would read Exodus 17, 1 through 7.
Pissed in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses said unto the Lord, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smitest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah, or and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, say, is the Lord among us or not?
All right, thank you much. Got another one of those awesome KJV words, chide. You ever use that? I don't use it. Chide. Isn't that great? What's it say in New King James?
Contend.
Now, isn't chide, isn't that a more interesting word?
Mine says strive.
Got what?
Strive,
S-T-R-I-V. Strive? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I have a little note here. This is a Cambridge Study Bible. It's an English Bible. And From Massa, it says temptation. Meribah, it says chiding, or as Kathy said, strife. Or you said strive, but it's, yeah, but it's strife. Strife, same thing. Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, I want you to think about all that Israel had seen up to this point, how they were delivered out of Egypt, and all that God had done. And Did they really think that God was going to bring them out and then let them thirst to death? Now, we might be tempted to criticize and say that we would never do that. Do we ever doubt God's provision? Have you ever racked your brain and almost stroked out because you got the checkbook out and you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay everything? Remember back, I know when Barbara and I were young and we had three small children at home, there were some months where there was too much month at the end of our money. Right? And but you know what? As I look back over the last 50 years, you know how many times the Lord failed us? Take a guess. Come on. Never. Never. But yet, even now, if I'm not careful, it's not hard, the old human nature, to doubt God. Not his provision, but we can doubt a lot of things about our God. Can't we? I mean, human nature, when God took Barbara, human nature might cause one to question. Why? Barbara was such a sweet lady, served the Lord diligently, faithfully, was committed to Christ, committed to her family, committed to me, committed to her church, and God took her. There's a lot of scum out there God could have taken instead of her. But thankfully, Barbara and I both learned many, many years ago, and I guess the biggest lesson was when God took our child, how to trust him and how to know that God knows what he's doing. It may not be what I think. It wouldn't have been my choice. But I'm not the potter, I'm the clay. I didn't create me, God did, and God created Barbara, and God can take us or anyone else any time he chooses. Can't he? So we can't be too hard on Israel. You know, when you get really thirsty, you might be tempted to say some things that aren't so smart. Yes, sir.
You know, it's funny, though, when you read these sections and you think, oh, I wouldn't have done that, but think about how much tougher people were back then. You know, they didn't have all the modern conveniences, and they're walking all day and all that, you know. And think about how much sooner we would be complaining. You know, we got AC, we got cars, you know, modern clothing and stuff. How much tougher they were. How much they probably went on longer. And how
sure.
much sooner we would be.
Well, we don't have to go too far back in our history for that to be true, right?
Yeah.
Just our grandparents, in some cases parents, but many of us grandparents.
So
you know, my grandparents were in the midst of the Depression. And, you know, I have no idea. I can't imagine what they went through. I can't. Some of you, I was raised in a lower middle class home. We had food. I don't remember going hungry. Some of you, I'm sure, did. And you know what it's like. But we are at a point now in our nation where now the newer generations, because of what they're being taught and what's pushed upon them, they think everything should be free. And the reason why the inflation rate's up around 7% and climbing is because you cannot print money that is not backed up by goods. It used to be gold. So if you have the same amount of stuff, and now because of all the problems getting the stuff around the country, we have shortages, right? And so if there's not enough of something, what's the person selling it going to do? They're going to charge more, right? So we see inflation. There's nothing free. How many of you heard the saying, there's no such thing as a free cup of coffee?
Or a free
lunch. Or a free lunch. That's right. And it's, I mean, somebody has to pay for it. Somewhere along the line, if you know, the kids want free college, well, guess what? There's nothing free. And so somebody has to pay the bills. Now, it's good. if you're like a Bernie Sanders and you're 100 years old and you know you're going to die soon anyway, be a big hero and make sure everybody gets everything for nothing. Then you die, it doesn't really affect you, or you have your millions. Which, by the way, if he was a good socialist like he claims to be, wouldn't he give everything away but what he absolutely needed? Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's being a good socialist. I got too much here. Everybody else can. Yes, sir.
The logic that goes from that.
Logic?
Yeah.
There's logic?
It's like, okay, if college is free, the professors are going to work for free too, right?
That's an excellent idea.
You get free food and free housing, and they're going to get stuff free, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
To your landlord or your bank.
Exactly. Oh, my. It's crazy, isn't it? All right. I could go on and on about this. Let's talk about the country Sunday. You know, just, and we'll stay and have lunch, and we'll all get to share our views on what's happening in the United States. You say, well, that'd be really negative. No, it really helps to vent. Pardon me? Yeah. There you go. I like that. We're getting to that point. The shelves keep getting empty. We may be at the position.
That would really bring back the old days.
Yeah. We'd have lard sitting on the stove all the time. Yeah. You shall not tempt the Lord. And by the way, the Lord Jesus quoted this when he was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, if you recall. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. So disobeying his commandments would mean forfeiting the land and the blessings, and instead of being blessed, be under divine judgment. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And basically, Moses is telling them the way of blessing. And it's the same for us. It hasn't changed. We do right. We obey the word of God. We live in the center of his will. God said, I'll bless you. And it may not mean that, it does not mean that everything that we want we're going to get, or every plan we make is going to be fulfilled. It doesn't mean that we're going to get our way all the time, but we'll be blessed in the eyes of God. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And God will, as we walk the walk of life, God will deal with our enemies. Again, it may not be in the way that we desire, but God will deal with them, if not in this life, in the one to come. Because there's always a payday someday, isn't there? So don't be discouraged. Don't be downtrodden. Because we hear a lot, you know, it's funny that there appears to many to only be one group of people that are discriminated against in the United States. Now, I am not a prejudiced person, and I pray you're not. I don't care what color your skin is. That absolutely means nothing to me. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I've had some good friends that were black. I've got family members that are adopted from South Korea. I mean, there's no need, no room for it, okay? Not in a Christian's heart and life. But for some reason, we are obsessed, at least one half of our country, is obsessed with about 13% of our population. What percentage makes up a country? How percentage of people? How many? 100%. Well, why are we obsessed with 13% of the population? Did you know that Christians are discriminated against in the United States today? Did you know that anti-Semitism is, you know, the anti-Jewish mindset is alive and well in the United States? Did you know that there are many in the United States that disdain Oriental people? Did you know that? Do you know that when the Irish in the turn of the 20th century came to this country and landed in New York, they were treated like dogs? Did you know that? Well, how come we're obsessed with 13% of the population? Which, by the way, many of the blacks in our country that are conservatives say, man, are you kidding me? Things are great. Are there any that are racist in America? Absolutely. Is it a major problem like it's made out to be in our progressive liberal media and our politicians that we have to change the voting laws, which are ready? I mean, we had more people vote in 2020 than we ever have in the history of our country. And there's not a single case that has been brought to bear of anyone that said they wanted to vote and couldn't. It's all about power. It's all about the elections of our country being national instead of local. So we know the way of blessing is to trust the Lord, to fear Him, to honor His word, to obey His word, to desire to be in the center of His will. And all of our enemies will be cast from us one day, even if not in this life. Bill, you look like you had something.
I was just going to say, it's not just power, it's also leverage. The people have leverage over you to more or less, they're telling you, you can't handle this, we can't.
Well, yeah, and it's not only that, but it's easier to cheat. When you the easiest way to cheat is to have as many mail-in ballots as you possibly can. All of this needs to go back like it was. How many of you remember the good old days when you had you voted on a Tuesday, and that was it? You voted. Now, if there were extenuating circumstances and you couldn't get to the polls, that was dealt with. But 99% of people went to the polls and voted on voting day. How many of you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that?
An ID.
Exactly. You got to have an ID for everything.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Everything. Think about it. You can't do anything without an ID. But voting, we shouldn't require an ID because that's racist. I mean, what kind of nonsense? And people buy into it. I'm back on politics. I apologize, but it all fits together. I mean, come on. It all fits. We see the results of a godless society, don't we? That's what we're in. We're in a post-Christian culture. It's godless for the most part. Our nation has abandoned God. And what kind of warnings did Moses give Israel over and over and over and over and over? Remember God. Remember God. Remember where all this good stuff you're going to get came from. Don't forget the hand that it is that feeds you. You're going to have vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to have cattle that you did not raise. You're going to have houses you didn't build. Don't forget where it came from. And I'm afraid that we as a nation now think that we're smarter than God, and many are denying God. I've been reading a lot of stuff and listening to a lot of stuff and starting to get all jumbled in my pea brain. But I read or heard recently, there was an article, it might have been, you sent me that, I also get that, I'm on his email list now, that fellow down in Winchester, what's his name? Yeah. And anyway, I don't know if it was something under that or what it was, but whether it was a comment or whatever, but somebody was talking about how the Bible's not the Word of God, it's just a book of fables. And as a matter of fact, because he was talking about gays and how there's no Bible verse that says anything against gays, because that wasn't even an issue back then. That's something, you can't take the old Bible from way back in Duwad day and apply it to the gay culture today, how can you be honest and not know, if you're honest, that there are a myriad of verses in Old and New Testament that clearly deal with the abomination and perversion of what God has created, and the absolute truth of God condemning the homosexual lifestyle. He said, no, you can't. It's not in the Bible. It does not apply because that wasn't an issue back then. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, I don't see anywhere else, where Jesus is talked about, that's a figment of the Bible's imagination. Jesus was not a historical figure. But there are secular records that talk about Jesus. Josephus is one of the main ones. But ignorance can be spewed and accepted as fact unless it's truth. If something is truth, then it's fought tooth and nail. But people can spew nonsense. Let me throw out a challenge. Those of you that are on Facebook, get off it. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm suggesting strongly. Why, Pastor? Because Facebook is the number one institution that is, what's the word they use? Canceling people. You know, back now the CDC says masks are not helping anything unless they're N95, KN95. Well, when some conservatives said that, they were thrown off of Facebook. Twitter. Same with Twitter. 50% of our nation is supposed to be conservative, right, at least? Isn't that true? If that be the case, if the conservatives would stop using Facebook, it would go out of business. It would take time, a lot of time. How many of you are old enough to remember when there was no Fox News? All we had was ABC, NBC, and all the big libs. All you heard was lib stuff. Now, when Fox first, you should watch I watched the little thing on the origins of Fox and how they started out. It was really funny. I mean, they didn't have anything. And now they're, I mean, they stomp CNN and all these, you know, the Clinton News Network, CNN, and all these fake news things. They trounce them. That took time, didn't it? It's been 25 years. They've been on the air 25 years. So Facebook, it may take time, but I encourage you to check out Rumble. Check out, there are others, but check out Rumble. And get off of these. Well, yeah, but I get my little grandbaby's pictures on there. Well, do you realize what you're supporting? They are now socialist. They're telling you, you cannot, if you say something contrary to what I believe, we're going to take you off. We're gonna cancel you. Remember the old saying, talk is cheap. It's going to cost something. If you want to change what is wrong with America, it's going to cost us all something. Or it's going to get worse and worse. We could do like the Germans did when Hitler started coming around. Ah, he's not a threat. Even the United States. Ah, no biggie. He's not a problem. This too shall soon pass.
Like back in the day, if you're not willing to die for what you believe, then nothing will change.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
during the Civil War, if they weren't willing to give their lives, then the South would have got its way.
Look at the Greatest Generation, right? They were greatest because they were willing to do whatever it took. There's no way that our nation today would sacrifice like they did in World War II. There's no way. Are you kidding me? Ah, there's no way. No way. Yes, sir. Yes, right. You probably remember it, don't you?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, Adam Ginsberg is special. But the thing is they don't look back, just like they don't look back at the recent history of the 60s with the Democrat. I love the South. I love Virginia. But I didn't love what they did. But the thing of it is the blacks and other people aren't looking at who was running the South.
Exactly.
Who were the ones that had just like in 19, you go back and look at the congressional record for the early 60s when the Civil Rights Act was trying to be passed.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Byrd, Strom Thurmond, you look at the names that show up that were against that Civil Rights Amendment. Just look at who was there.
Yeah.
Not one Republican, Democrat that was on the assembly in this Congress.
Well, wasn't Strom a Republican? I don't think he was against it. Wasn't he? Wasn't Strom Thurmond a Republican? Anybody remember? Yeah, I thought he was a Republican. But anyway, I know what you're saying. It's true that the Democrats that claim to be so much for the blacks were the ones that did everything they could to stop civil rights legislation.
They just changed the plantation from the antebellum to the government is all they did.
Mm. All right, let me. Time is, and I got way off course. I apologize. I'm going to do much better next week. I promise. I'll get off of this stuff. I'm just so full of it. Not full of it like that didn't sound too good, did it? But that's true. I am full of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm all this nonsense. I'm just, because I see our nation crumbling. It's breaking my heart. It really is. All right, so let's, the way of blessing, do what's right in the sight of the Lord, and then it'll be well with us. Verse 20, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? And so Moses goes on in the rest of the chapter to teach them what their children should know, how they should be grateful and trust Jehovah. So the father was then to explain four key elements. Let me give you these quickly. Four key elements. These were things that Jewish fathers were supposed to teach their children. Number one, in verse number 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. So they were to teach, number one, the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. First part of verse 21. Teach your children, remind them, keep it before them that you were in bondage in Egypt, the forefathers. Secondly, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So secondly, God miraculously delivered Israel and judged the Egyptians. God miraculously delivered Israel and judged the Egyptians. Last part of verse 21 and also verse 22. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. Number three. Teach your children what God did, that it was done as was promised to the patriarchs. What God did was done as was promised to the patriarchs. Verse 23, he brought us out from Egypt, or from thence, which would be Egypt, that he might bring us in, out of Egypt, into Canaan, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So, number three, what God did was done as exactly was promised to the patriarchs. Then lastly, number four, verses 24 and 25, God gave his law to Israel that they would obey it for their own good. God gave his law to Israel that they would obey it for their own good. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness, literally righteousness for us. It shall be righteousness for us if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So God gave his law to Israel that they would obey it for their own good. Questions, comments? I'm in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Where are you at?
16.
Chapter 16. That's a good chapter. That is a good chapter, though. You made a wise choice. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Gary.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
God destroyed them because they were good people, I guess.
Pardon me?
God destroyed them.
Yeah, they were, Well, yeah, you got to remember, though, that according to the ungodly, they don't believe the Bible is the word of God.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking that earlier, too, when you were talking about that guy. I mean, when the two angels came into the city and...
But they don't believe the Bible, so it's meaningless. It's a fable, you know. They don't believe. Can you get me the prayer list, please?